This Dharma talk was given to the Clearway Zen Sangha by Lotus Vu. This talk is made available free of charge. More information about Clearway Zen can be found at www.clearwayzen.ca.
Good morning. It's been almost 35 years since I started sitting down for the first time to meditate. I struggled a lot in the first 2 years of my Zen practice. And continue to struggle for a long, long time. Because there was a part of me that felt that I was very independent and I had the ability to do whatever I could. I listened well to instruction. Problem was, my teacher was in retreat. He was in a retreat for a better part of 10 years during my first few formative years of Zen practice, so I studied with another teacher, who I now know is, didn't really know what he was doing. What he did helped me do was to establish good posture. And he also helped me do another thing. Is he said, you don't start meditating until you can meditate for an hour. So at 15, I sat down and sweat my way through the first hour. I was quite determined. I continued on, and it didn't feel so bad after a week or so. What I've also learned is breathing. The importance of being able to calm your breath. The importance of grounding your awareness, your mind on the breath. So I counted my breaths for 2 years. I know it's a really boring exercise. Because as I studied the text, I knew that was the most foundational and important practice of Zen, counting the breath. And after 35 years of doing Zen, I still do it. Why? Because as you all know, living in Regina, that if you buy a house that doesn't have a solid foundation, you'll find out pretty soon what happens to it. Starts cracking, bulging, leaking in water, needs further bracing. But bracing is not the same as having a good foundation. Okay? You're fixing a cracked foundation versus one that's well built. And Marie's husband knows that. So when they built their house, they made sure they put on deep piles and strong foundations to last for 100 years. Counting the breath and being able to ground the breath in your body is that foundation in the Zen practice that you built your house on. If you don't have that foundation correctly, your whole practice is wobbly. So although my first meditation teacher wasn't exactly a Zen teacher, he was a Buddhist monk. He did teach me the right posture and breathing, grounding my breath through the body. Well, much later on, what he really taught me was Qigong. So grounding the breath in the body helps the body calm. And as I studied psychology and did research in my research lab on physiological developmental psychology, when I found out that when they measure the breath, when people get excited, get anxious, get traumatized, kids and adults, first thing that goes, the breath. The breath goes shallow. It goes fast. You start chest breathing instead of relaxed breathing. And the only way we can regulate our body, physiological, automatic process, all of our processes in our body are automatic. The only way we can regulate it is through the breath. So Qigong teaches people to breathe through the lower stomach. It's a focus on 2 inches underneath the navel. And just feel it going out and in as you're breathing instead of your chest going out and in. And of course, if you stress and strain and try to effort that through, that's not going to work. Because breathing through the stomach, through the diaphragm, as many physical therapists now tell us, involves relaxation. So, what the foundational practice does really well is to allow me to learn to breathe through my diaphragm instead of my chest. And that helps a lot in building the right foundation. Modern life is stressful. It's stressful because we live mostly in our head and we're constantly feel threatened. So we're breathing through our chest most of the time. And that's where continual stress is put into our body, releases cortisol, a hormone that damaging to the body if it's there for too long. So all of the modern day illnesses stems from prolonged stress. In reality, when we were hunter and gatherers, which human history, we have been doing so for a long time. What they found is hunter-gatherers only work for 4 hours a day. The rest of the time, they're spending time with the community, with the kids, with the family, doing social things, storytelling around the fire. We'd work double that right now. Hunters and gatherers only feel threatened when they have to be in a heightened state to go hunting, to attack an animal. They go into a fight and flight response. Get ready for action. So the body is pumped with adrenaline and cortisol. Stress hormones elevated for that time because it readies the body for action. And then after that, they relax. It's safe. They celebrate. For us, it's not the case in modern world. We're constantly in fight or flight. Why? Because we're so used to chest breathing that when we get home, we don't know how to calm down. We don't know how to relax. We turn on the TV for some more action. That's our entertainment. More action movie. Pumps up the adrenaline, gets us excited. And so we constantly need stimulation to keep our normal state of excitement going. Because that's our normal state. We don't know how to relax. So what Qigong does very well is put your body into a relaxed state. We're learning to do diaphragmic breathing. So, what my first teacher, what my first meditation teacher taught me was, he said, take a deep breath in, just focus under your navel. Notice it going out. And then as you breathe out, just relax. And keep your attention there for as long as you could. And if your mind starts to wander, count. You know, in Zen and in other meditation practices, we talk a lot about letting go. I remember years ago in our Sangha, there was a new person who came in and said, you talk a lot about letting go. How do you let go? None of us could answer. You just let go. It's not like, you know, you're holding on to a ball or something. And you could say, okay, unfurl this finger, and unfurl this finger, and unfurl this finger, and then it'll let go. Letting go in the body is a little more subtle and tricky. And to be honest, when I first taught Zen, I had no idea how to communicate it either. Because it's not in a way that, so naturally that I've been following the process of grounding my breath in my stomach and my body. But I didn't connect that with letting go. But letting go is very simple. It could get any simpler. It's ridiculously simple that our complicated mind will not accept this is that easy. It's basically put your attention into your body. Put your attention in your tummy, your lower tummy, beneath your navel. Take a deep breath. Breathe out. And as you relax, as you breathe out, just relax. And you can feel the attention on your shoulder, just relax. Just going back. It's almost like before you go, you fall asleep, your body just slumps down onto the onto the mattress. That's when it relaxes. And for most of us who has a hard time falling asleep, that's essentially the process that our body forgot. Because it's been an excitement for too long. It's forgotten how to relax. Don't we have to take a pill in order to do it? Or drink something to knock us out? That's essentially what happens in the modern day. For most of us, we've forgotten this natural process that we always have as a child. You know how kids are so easy to fall asleep? Because you're born with it. But we've conditioned ourselves in the contrary. And that conditioning has in turn go against our body natural rhythm. How do you relax? I try to relax. It doesn't work. Well, the problem is trying, isn't it? I try really hard. Whenever you mention the word try, it means you're efforting. It's the opposite of relaxing. So stop trying, give up. Give up trying. We have another word for that. It's called surrender. I give up. It seems to bounce around, you know, after Eckhart Tolle's Power of Now, seems to bounce around, being very popular in the spiritual community. That's another word for letting go. Same thing. Different way to describe it. Because as soon as you surrender, you stop the fight. You relax. But then don't try to relax that like that song in the 70s. Relax, don't do it. That's the opposite of relax. It's saying one thing, it's communicating a completely different energy. It doesn't matter what it's saying, it's the energy it's communicating. If it, you say it calmly. Relax. Now that's in line with the meaning of the word. When I started teaching Zen, my student asked me, you know, how come all the Buddha statues, and he's sitting there and he's really droopy? It's like he's half asleep. His eyes are half closed. He's always looking down. He's very droopy. And if you watch a lot of the old pictures of meditation masters while they're meditating, it's kind of the same. They look like they're half asleep. They are and they aren't. Their awareness is sharp, but their body is very relaxed. Almost asleep. So what happens when you're in a relaxed state? Your heart rate goes down. Your temperature goes down. Your muscle tensions goes down. You're reserving a lot more energy. You're conserving and using much less energy. And so, when you do need that energy to be active, you find you have more. Because when we're in a heightened state of energetic use all the time, we feel completely tired and exhausted all the time. Why? Of course, because you're running on empty. Whereas when you're in a constant state of relax, you're using less energy. So you have more throughout your day. So the breathing, really important. And that's why every spiritual tradition has meditation at the center. Starts with the practice of breathing, grounding your breath in your body. This practice is vital, builds the foundation for all progress in our Zen practice and everything. It's like, you know, when I practiced martial arts as a kid, every time we practice, we stretch. Even if we do 30 years of martial art, we still stretch before we practice. There's no exception. Otherwise, you will have injury. The Zen practice is the same. You start with breathing, grounding in the body, and relax. And you keep it that way every time you practice. And if you're able to practice 24 hours a day, that's permanent. I remember one time I was at Mikhail's and Eva's house having dinner. And I got bought my new spiffy Garmin watch that monitors my breathing and my heart rate. And I told him, I said, oh yeah, on average I breathe about 11 breaths per minute. And I remember Mikhail said to me, oh my God, you're gonna live for a long time. I didn't know that. I didn't know that that was good breathing. Because for most of us, I think it's 12 to 14. Was it 13 is the average? What
I would say it's way more. I don't know. I'm really.
Yeah. Mikhail, you know how what's the average breath per minute? I looked it up, and it's somewhere around 12 to 14. So my first 2 years of the foundational practice, even though I didn't learn much of that, I learned Qigong. It was very useful. It helped change my physiology. It helped change my breathing habit. And so it makes it so much easier to relax when you're already relaxed. So letting go, 12 to 18, wow, that's a lot. So letting go is basically relaxing your body. And once your body is relaxed, good luck trying to hold on to any thought. It's very hard. You ever have the feeling of like laying on the beach in Cuba, having a cold drink, feeling the breeze and totally relaxed? Yes, who here has that experience? Try thinking at that time. You can't! Your body's just so relaxed. You're like, oh. But you're not even thinking that. It's just, you're just feeling great. You know what Zen ultimate goal is like? That's the normal state. Isn't that cool? Well, how do you get anything done? A little bit different than, you know, being on the beach. But you get used to the body being in relaxed state, and get used to what feels like the lack of energy through your day and doing your stuff. the new normal. Basically, you're always chilling. Not that they're not doing stuff. You all know, from knowing me for many years, I'm a doer. I do a lot of stuff. How do a doer like me can meditate for a long? When I get up and just like always doing stuff. Because once you relax, you're not worried about the goal anymore. It's just a doer. When we get caught up in an idea, a goal, a destination, an idea of what reality is supposed to be, we spend half of our energy thinking about the goal, holding on to the goal, instead of actually doing the things that get us there. So when you do things without being attached to the goal, you're actually using 100% of your energy on the doing. That gets you to the goal. So the majority amount of your energy is not invested in anxiety and worry. So letting go is not just letting go of an idea, it's your body physically letting go. Relax, giving up any trying whatsoever. And believe me, at first it feels really weird. How might we be this relaxed, like sitting on the beach and still do stuff? I just get used to it. But that all stems from the breathing, grounding of the breath, learning to breathe on, and counting the breath, of course. Because you can rein in the body, but the mind still tries to wander. So, as we say in Vietnam, there's two things that you do when you meditate. You regulate the body and you regulate the mind. And in the Zen practice, it starts with regulating the body. And that's through breathing, diaphragmic breathing. Once you get that down, you regulate the mind by reining it in with a counting breath. Give it something to do. Of course, as you all know, when you first start doing that, it's the most boringest exercise ever. And if you're not bored, then I know what you do with that. Because that practice is designed for you to confront boredom. Is designed for you to confront mind wandering. Is designed for you to confront those discomforts of boredom, falling asleep, half asleep, mind wandering. If you get the counting practice down pat right, you realize that behind what seemingly a normal mind state that you think you have, there's so many different states that pass by that you're unaware of while it's happening. And that counting practice helps you to refine the ability to observe all these subtle mind states that come and go. As long as you're not trying to control the whole process. How's controlling the whole process?
Oh, shoot, I lost my count. Ah! Get back to it.
That's control. Or you can go, oh, okay. Come back.
Did I just count to 20? Oh my God, what was I doing?
That's control. Okay. Lost it. Now come back. That's let go. Very subtle. It's just the energy. The efforting that we do, that we use. So for most of us, when we start, we want to generate these amazing mind states. We want to go on a mushroom trip. Or LSD trip. I mean, that's what attracted us to meditation, right? All these talks of those things. And then we find ourselves doing the boringest thing on the cushion. We thought, what? I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for all that fireworks that people talk about. Let me tell you a secret. Fireworks goes off fast. It doesn't last and it won't help you go through your day.
It's that boring ass practice. That's the practice that helps you go through your day. It's like none of us wants to go to the gym and sweat it out and just feel so much discomfort. But it's what outside of the gym, after your hour of workout, that you're doing that for. How good you feel outside of the gym. So just think of your hour of meditation every day as going to the mental gym. You're doing that for the rest of your day. And it's not going to be fun. We all have an expectation that we sit down, we meditate. We're supposed to feel peace and calm, and it's supposed to have fireworks. We're supposed to feel bliss. Surprise, surprise, when you come to Zen practice. That's very far from what you feel on your cushion. It's more like sweating out at the gym. But the other stuff will come later, you know. Like some part in your gym routine, you probably come out with a high. That happens sometimes. Especially if you're running, you know, you get the runner's high after about 10 minutes or so. Until your brain gets used to it. But of course, you have to stay long enough to be able to experience that high. And that's sort of like Zen. You have to stay in for a few years before you start to experience the firework. And if you experience it too early, it's actually a curse. Because then you're hooked. You're a meditation bliss junkie. You go to one retreat after another just to get that. But that is also a fleeting state. It doesn't stay. It's like the fireworks. It's fleeting. Beautiful. All those meditation highs. And you can get a lot of them. Very much like when you take mushroom ayahuasca. You get a trip. A natural trip. A little bit better. Okay, I'm really selling it. But that's not my point. It's not about that. It's about a sweaty work at the gym that allows you all that energy and health during the day. So you get on the cushion, you just sit. You just practice, no matter what happens in that hour. I generally get this from students when I tell them to take notes. There's nothing to take notes. There's nothing interesting. Well, take notes on the boring stuff. Why? It's the boring stuff that you notice that actually makes a big difference in the practice. It's the uninteresting stuff. So that's the Zen practice. On the cushion, good sitting, bad sitting, there's no such thing. It's just sitting. Sometimes you come out of the gym and you feel great. Sometimes you come out of the gym and you're all achy. Does the same thing. It strengthens you. It gives you better health. And the Zen practice is the same. Good sitting, not so good sitting, they all do the same thing. They give you a more stable body, more stable mind. So you can go throughout the day. And if 1 hour is not enough, do more. Because some of us need more. When I started, I need more. Why? Because I came from a traumatized community, from a traumatized family. Fight and flight response was my norm. For most of you who has a normal upbringing, I don't know what that is, by the way. You'll probably need less meditation, maybe an hour a day. 30 minutes is not going to cut it. Probably take you that long just for the body to relax and settle down. And then all the interesting clarity that comes after that time that the body settled down, well, you've missed because you just ended your sitting at 30. So, remember, it's not about a good sitting. Just like when you go to the gym, it's not about a good workout. Someday it's completely shitty to work out. You don't feel like it at all. But you still do it. So for Zen, we have a saying in Soto Zen. Say, just sitting. Don't do anything. Just get on the cushion, just sit. And if you learn what I've learned in the first two foundational years of my practice, is just sit, breathe, and relax. So build your basement foundation. Build it properly. Or else when the fireworks come, you'll be swept off your feet. And that's a pretty dangerous thing. I've seen it happen. Didn't happen to me because I built my foundation solid. I was also a good student. Whatever my teacher said, I do. Why? Because he knows more than. Even the guy that didn't really teach me that. He did teach me something really important. How to breathe properly.
which I didn't know, coming from a very traumatic past. So for those of you who are just starting your Zen practice, and for all those of you who have done the Zen practice for a while, always remember, check your basement, see if it's have any crack. Okay, I'm going to open it up for comments, discussions.
This podcast is created by members of the Clearway Zen Sangha. If you enjoyed the talk and wish to show support, donation information can be found on our website, www.clearwayzen.ca. Thank you for listening.